Welcome to the Team Flower Podcast. My name is Kelly, and we are gathering today to inspire you in your work with flowers.
This is Carrie here with Team Flower. I'm excited to be on the podcast today, just talking to you briefly about five lessons that that my kids have actually taught me. Just some life lessons, whether or not you're a parent. I think they'll still hopefully apply to your own life. So I have just a little background. I have three young daughters, a six-year-old, a four-year-old, and a 15-month-year-old, all girls. So my husband is definitely outnumbered, but he loves it. And so do I. So I used to teach, and now I'm the education coordinator for Team Flower. So when I was teaching, I obviously have a love of kids. And then when I had my own kids, I was teaching them at home. So I was like, okay, I'm going to move out of the actual classroom and just teach my own kids. And funny enough, if you are a parent, you'll know that kids often teach us instead just as much as we teach them. So these are just a couple kind of fun things that the girls have taught me over the past 6 years. I won't keep you too long today, but just a couple fun things. I want to start with just when I was out pulling weeds one day with my daughters. Actually, we live in Connecticut, and in the pathway there was up to our house, there were tons of weeds. And I, you know, at kids at that young age, they don't really understand that it's actual work. So you can kind of coerce them into helping you. So I was like, oh, you know, let's do this. And I got them all excited about pulling weeds. And so they helped me for a little while. And then a couple weeks later, we were out again and the weeds were back. And so the girls were like, Mom, we just pulled these. How are there already weeds there? And I was talking to them about how if you don't get to the root of the weed, then they grow back just as much. They grow back fast because you're not actually getting to the root of the problem or the root of the actual weed. And oftentimes, I don't know about you, but when I'm explaining something to someone else, it's actually teaching me. And so I was sitting there thinking, man, that applies to so much of my life. Is if I have a problem or if I have something that's just like a weed in my life and I don't actually get to the root of it, then it just grows back faster and it just keeps growing and growing and growing until I actually get to the root of that weed and actually get rid of it. And so, so I don't know, you know, if you have something in your life that's being a weed and, you need to get to the root of it, but I encourage you to do that if you do. And that kind of reminded me of just in life, we all have these weeds that pop up, and if we don't actually take care of them, they tend to keep growing. And the other part of that, it's a twofold message, is just that sometimes the weeds choke out the actual good flowers in our life. And so if you mostly have weeds, or if you don't get rid of those weeds, then they can choke out the really great parts of you and the really awesome flowers that you can share with other people, the awesome qualities you can share with other people. So that's one little lesson that I kind of learned just even from talking to them about these simple weeds that had come up through the cracks in our sidewalk. Lesson number two is confidence. You know, kids are funny. They don't have that spatial awareness, and they don't have the fear of even when they're, you know, babies and they're learning to walk, which you have to obviously be careful of, but they don't have that awareness of a step being bigger than it is. They just full confidence take that leap. They just go for it. And even though at that age it's dangerous, as an adult, it's kind of a reminder to me that, you know, sometimes we just need that extra push to just be like, yeah, I don't know how deep this step is. I don't know how big the leap is, but I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to do it and trust. And so I urge you today, if that's you and you feel like you just need that extra step, just think of a kid that's just taking a leap. You know, my middle daughter, Brooke, she's so confident and so fearless, and she just she'll just try anything. And if I could take just a grain of that sometimes in my own life, I think it would make a huge difference for those decisions to just not think twice, to just jump in. So that's my second life lesson for you today. And I've got three more, and I won't take up too much more time. But the third one is forgiveness and just the grace that kids offer. They have such a short attention span sometimes, which as a mom can be, frustrating at times, because you set up this activity and they're done with it in 3 minutes. But at the same time, that short attention span also allows for them to really forgive and just give grace whenever I mess up or whenever I'm not, hitting the mark that day. They are just, they're quick to forgive. They're quick to show grace. And I think we could all learn from that, to just give each other that grace and that forgiveness. We all have stuff. We all are, especially this year and last year. If you haven't had stuff, then I want to know your secret, because we've all struggled. We've all had our stuff. And so just to show that forgiveness and grace to others. The fourth lesson is slowing down and just appreciating the small things. And I am not very good at math, so I'm going to say this is actually my fifth thing, because the pulling weeds was a two-part example. So this will be the fifth and final closing thought for you, is just slowing down and appreciating the small things. Kids also tend to they teach me to just look around, to be still, to notice things that I would not even think twice about noticing. Mommy, look at this rock, or look at this pine cone, or look at the bird. And we are so distracted sometimes, and it's easy to be. It's easy to be distracted with other things going on, especially if you work from home, or not especially. I mean, everyone has their moments of distraction, but when you work from home, it's, you're thinking of getting your work done and thinking about things around the house and all that. There's lots of distractions, and so they're just teaching me to just take a step back, to notice things, to appreciate small things like rocks and flowers and birds and all kinds of just the little things that make life beautiful. So I hope this was an encouragement to you today. I was thinking, what am I going to share with people? And I'm constantly learning through my kids. And so hopefully just those short, brief lessons today brought some encouragement to you as well. I can't wait to talk to you all again, and I hope you have a great day.
I have a feeling there's quite a lot of people who listen to this podcast. They're not florists, but they're thinking about it. Is that you? Are you dreaming of a life with flowers, but you just haven't taken that leap yet? Well, I wanted to make sure that you know about the How to Become a Florist class from Team Flower. It is designed to help people get on the path to a meaningful, passion-filled career in flowers that makes a difference in the world. You can use your passion for good, self-sustainable products and make people smile, because life is too short to have a career that you aren't passionate about. Now, I'm not offering a worry-free life. I'm not offering a life with no stress, or a life that, just involves birds like singing outside all the time. But I am offering you a passion-filled career, and passion is the thing that propels you through any and every obstacle that might come your way. So if a career in flowers is something that you've been thinking about, I hope you'll consider joining How to Become a Florist. We're starting class again tomorrow. You can hop in and join. You haven't missed a beat. Just go to howtobecomeaflorist.com to register, and I'll see you in class tomorrow. Again, that's howtobecomeaflorist.com. Today, our special guest is Derek Woodruff. He has Floral Underground, which is located in Traverse City, Michigan, Floral Underground is a regional subscription box service that sends flowers to the DIY consumer. They ship flowers all over the Great Lakes region and educate consumers on how to easily arrange with fresh flowers. They are just spreading the love, helping people be creative and fall in love with flowers. You can find Derek on Instagram at Floral Underground. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit more about this awesome subscription service that you offer. Tell us some of your success stories with customers that have been a part of it.
Well, it started back in 2017, and I just had the idea based on popular subscription box models like Blue Apron, for example. That's always my go-to and explanation. And I started just locally, and people in Grand Rapids wanted it. People in other cities wanted it around the region. So I just figured out ways to establish how to ship flowers regionally, and it's been super successful. And I've really enjoyed doing it. I love teaching. It's one of my favorite things to do. So the fact that I can do that through education of flowers, it really fulfills me. So I really enjoy it.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, Jesse and I do love our food box subscriptions. It's helped us to eat every night because we know that it is there and that is the thing that we're doing.
Yes. And
it's so cool, you know, to be able to have those flowers. I mean, it's something that's great for all of us to have, just this sort of automation surrounding creative play and enjoying beauty. And I think it's really awesome. So Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about your story with flowers. Is the subscription box kind of where you really hopped in and found your thing? I feel like you've got kind of a story before that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I sure do. I subscription boxes is kind of where I've landed in the last couple of years. And I've been a florist since I was actually 16. I got involved in vocational school. I got a job in high school at a flower shop. So I was trained that way. And after that, I just kept going. I got involved in my state association. I got involved in AIFD and SAF. And just built the camaraderie with the community of florists that was surrounding me and my mentorship. And then I moved to Traverse City and I worked for some more florists, did weddings and events, eventually started my own business, did lots of weddings and events because that's what you do when you start your floral business. And it's kind of evolved into what it is now. I was on a reality television show. Like I like to call it the original now that there are a few on Netflix and on HBO Max. It was on Logo Television. And so that was a huge milestone for me as well about 11 years ago now. And I don't know, I just keep finding my way as an educator in the industry, either speaking on stage or teaching workshops or connecting with consumers through things like my subscription box program.
That's really cool. Tell us a little bit about what you think, you know, with all of these combined experiences that you've had over the year, what are some things that you would tell a newbie who's getting started? What skills do you feel like are really helpful for them to start developing?
You know, I've found that the more experience that you can have, the better, you know, whether that's interning with an event florist or just working in a flower shop, doing the dirty work to get going. I've learned very practical skills from doing all of these jobs. And I also am a competition florist, so I love competing in floral design. And that has taught me so much as well. So learning this skill set of time management, being practical, being efficient about what you're producing, and time management about what it is you're doing, whether it's in a wedding or event setup, or if it's just a series of arrangements over the course of a day. Those practical skills make you a very valuable floral designer.
Tell us a little bit more about, if you will, about the competition floral designer. Tell us a little bit about where you compete and what's that like? How do you prepare for it? I'm so curious about that.
Yeah, it's something. I didn't even realize until like in the most recent years that, you know, professional floral design competition outside of this country is just insane. But I actually got my start at the state level. My teachers encouraged me to compete in my first competition when I was a student. So I was 16 and I won the student division of at the time it was the Michigan Floral Association convention. And I got the bug like right out of the gate. I continued to compete year after year at the state level competition until I started asking mentors and peers, like, how can I improve? And then I started to get positive feedback and making those corrections in my competitions. And then I started winning. And then I started competing regionally and then nationally and then internationally. I have competed in the SAF Sylvia Cup many times. I've won second, I think, three times now, and I've won it once. I've competed in the FTD Americas Cup as a qualifier for the World Cup. That was always a pipe dream, and I did come in runner up for that one in 2018. So that I'm pretty proud of that. And then all of that led me to the competition reality show, The Arrangement, and I was second runner up on that too. So I have the bug. I've got the itch. I like to compete. I love the challenge. I love pushing my creativity, and I just love the stress. It just makes me perform well.
What kind of mindset do you go into that with? Tell us a little bit, like, if we've never been to a competition or done it, like, what's the prompt? What's the challenge? I'm sure all of them are maybe like a little bit different, but what do you have to have going in when you're right there getting started? I mean, put us in the heat of the moment. Take us there.
My favorite kind of competition, because there are different kinds, is live competition. And that's kind of where you don't know anything other than, like, you know, there's going to be a theme, you know, you're going to have a time limit, you know, how many pieces you're going to have to create. But other than that, you don't know anything. You don't know what the product is. You don't know what that theme is. You don't know what the principles and elements that they're looking for are. And so everybody's kind of on an even playing field from there. And that kind of calms me a little bit. It's just like, okay, out of the gate, here's what we have to work with. Here's what we have to do. Here's the directive. And then you just make these conscious decisions. You dive in, you push yourself. You know, other kinds of competitions are you design something and you bring it and you're judged on whatever the criteria is for that. But it's something that you prepare ahead of time. So you've had this time to think about it. And I actually don't do as well with stuff like that, which tells me that I'm better impromptu than I am as a planner. Like, I can plan, sure, but there's always things that are going to happen, whether it's a competition or an event, that really throw you a curveball, and you have to know how to handle those things. So I think that's why I love competition so much, is because I just do so much better with that style.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, isn't that the truth? That is real life for a floral designer every day. It's using what you have, making the most of it, jumping in with the happy attitude and giving it all you got.
Yeah. And you know, you're just going to grow, and that's it. And that's all part of it.
Yep. Yep. It's all a part of the process. So good. Well, you'd mentioned a lot of different organizations that you've been a part of along the way. Tell us a little bit about how community with other floral designers has been a part of your career.
I would say that it started at high school level. I had these great instructors that saw that I had a flair for floral design. I was really interested in plants, and they got me involved in that state association. So I started meeting these designers from around the state, and then different facets of the industry too. You know, people that were growers and wholesalers, distributors, importers, and started building this network with people in my industry, which was so cool because we would connect year after year. And then after I had achieved what I felt was the top of what I could on my state level, then I moved to a national level, and then I moved to a social level. And I just enjoy meeting people. I've determined it's, you know, everybody has their own grid work of what they do in their floral design world. I just love everybody's story. I love working with people. I love collaborating with different parts of the industry. So being a part of all those different parts of the industry has really connected me with some cool communities. And then I share that locally. I've got local friends who are different kinds of floral designers. I'm friends with retail florists, growers. I'm friends with event florists, wedding florists. And we have a tight-knit community ourselves. And we're always reaching out to each other for, does anybody have this product? Or what do I do in this situation? Or, you know, can anybody help me with that? And I just love that. I think that's so cool.
It is really cool. I love that. With everything that's been happening in the last few years and everybody kind of switching and moving things around, tell us about how your business is navigating through those changes and what you might recommend if somebody's feeling a little bit stuck today.
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting the past year and a half, that's for sure. And when I kind of launched the subscription model, I stopped doing so many weddings and events. You know, I always do a few every year, and I love corporate events. You know, it's just so simple and creative, and I do like that. But my business kind of took off after everything shut down because it was the consumer really wanting some kind of entertainment, some kind of education, basically a connection with some kind of project, creative project. So that part of my business really took off. All of my weddings and events, I did some last year, and it was super challenging. Like the restrictions that may be put in place anywhere you are in the country, like, really, it's prohibitive to being creative and sometimes even working. But I just try to have an open mind, and I just try to plan the best that I can. And like I said, competition prepares you for things like curveballs in life and in your career. So as long as I'm open-minded about those things that may come my way, and then just being really good about figuring out what those solutions are, you know, I've never really lost hope. I just know things will work out. I know that keeping a positive attitude really helps that as well. And then asking for help, You know, I've had to ask for help before, and nobody should be afraid to ask for help when they need it, especially in harsh times like these.
Absolutely. I know you mentioned that you love educating, that's something you're so passionate about, and it just shines through as you talk. And I just wonder if you could talk about one topic for the rest of your life. What is it? Like, what's the inside of floral design that you love so much, gets you real, real pumped, jazzed, super excited?
You know, I think my favorite audience is a consumer audience. And to them, like, most people appreciate flowers, but most people think that they can't handle flowers. And I can relate to that through something different. Like, maybe it's cooking. And I found love for like tasty videos, for example. Like, if you make it look easy and you tell me what to do, like, I'm going to try it. Like, and sink or swim, it's going to be an experience. So if I had to do something in floral design for the rest of my life, if I had to choose something, I would continue working with consumers, just because the process for them is so rewarding to get their hands on some kind of medium that's unknown to them, something that they appreciate, they see often, they see it on social media, they see it in real life, and they appreciate the beauty of that, but they think that it's not approachable. So when I'm working with those consumers and I make it approachable for them and they are super proud of something that they made, and then they have that light bulb, that aha moment, that they're like, wow, that was so fun. And like, I can total handle this, what I did. And I really enjoy that. And I'm going to continue to buy flowers and get my hands on flowers. That's what I would do for the rest of my life, for sure.
Mm-hmm. What are some things that you feel like are important to address or to say during that, you know, first interaction with flowers? Like, how do you tee them up so that they really feel like that they are something that's approachable and it is something that they can do?
Well, because everybody has such a hang up about it, you know, I always go into the spiel of, you know, it's not rocket science. We're not curing cancer. It's not a pet. So there's room for error, and that it all takes time to grow. Exactly. So like the idea of creating something, it's never going to be perfect. And that's the beauty of our art, is like we embrace the imperfection and we embrace the impermanence of it. And that's the beauty of flowers. So as soon as you like relieve them of the responsibility that they've set that bar so high of what something is supposed to be, and you just fulfill it with the idea that it's fun and it's for them and this, that they're the designer, then it just relieves all the stress, and then it's pure fun from there.
It's so good. That's so good. I love that. That's just something that I could see written on a sign in front of, you know, wherever our work tables are. You know, me and all of our listeners, you know, it's not perfect. It's never going to be perfect. We're going to have a really fun time. We're going to have a really fun time while we do it, you know?
Yeah. That's what it should be, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It really should, because I just feel like that whenever the joy flows, you know, whenever you are just enjoying the flowers, there's something about that process that just, I don't know, it just adds a layer of beauty to them that is so sweet and just remarkable and really sticks with you long after the flowers are gone. It's so important. I love that.
Right.
I'm so
thankful. And it does. I've met so many people that I've interacted with in workshops who are younger, and they come to me as adults and like, I remember this workshop that I did with you, and it's made me really love flowers. And I was like, wow, really? Like, I don't remember what that particular instance was, but they do. And that's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so cool because there's so many things about flowers and arranging them that translate into just everyday life principles and mindset principle shifts that can make a big difference regardless of what, you know, what that person that's in that class might do for a living now or in the future or whatever. I just, there's those little principles, there's those little moments. Flowers maybe aren't a part of the everyday at the moment, and it just kicks our brains out of out of that mundane thing. It creates moment, and there's just such a huge opportunity. I know some of our listeners do community workshops where they'll have people come into their studios and do short-term things like that. And I just, you know, just listening to you talk and about that aspect of it, never lose an opportunity to be able to just do a little mindset shift that helps people arrange the flowers, but also translates so far past that. That's such a huge value add for moments like that in communities. So good. Good job. Good job, Derek. That's good. So good. Okay. What about like in our industry, you know, there's a question that I'll ask sometimes that's like, if we could all pull together on something, what would that be? Like, what would we want to see shift or change? And a lot of people will talk about almost like 90% of the time are talking about sustainability and that shift. And so we can kind of see what that industry culture shift is looking like based on at least the people who are on the podcast. We can kind of see that shifting over. But I'm wondering, you know, so that one's kind of clear and out there, but is there a blind spot that you think that the industry has that's something that we're not talking about all the time that is really foundational, important for just growing and watching the industry continue to explode and to reach more people with flowers?
Well, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head right there. You know, I think the biggest blind spot and the biggest challenge in our industry is that our industry is not more mainstream than it should be. I feel like most consumers, most people really connect with flowers either emotionally or as an expression of medium, you know, whether it's through therapy or art form. And because of that connection with flowers, because it's such an emotional connection, I feel like it should be that's something that's more celebrated. It should be celebrated on television more. It should be celebrated in movies. It should be talked about more in podcasts. You know, flowers touch so many people, and yet it just seems like such a minuscule commodity for what it actually is as an industry. So, you know, in my eyes, like every time I watch a huge movie, I'm paying attention to all the flowers in the movie. And I know other people do that too, because it's this amazing part of the scenery, because it's a part of people's lives. So I think that flowers should be touching people and moving people the way that food does, and the way that, you know, home interior design does, and lots of other things, you know, beyond just beauty. Like I said, it's therapy too. So because it touches people through those facets of their lives, I feel like it should just be more of a focal point in people's lives, mainstream, other than just like calling up your florist saying, hey, I need to send something to somebody.
Yeah. So connected to just memory and generation after generation, you know, specific flowers or smells or scents or all those kinds of things is really cool. I think a lot sometimes too about just the marketing and the way that we talk about flowers. We show flowers a lot on our pages and in our marketing and things like that, obviously, but really using some of those words to connect with those more emotional experiences that people have. I mean, if you think about why you buy things, I mean, you buy something because you need it. So they might buy flowers because they need a gift or something. But really, like, what is it that they're trying to communicate, or what is it that they're trying to give, or that their deep desire is for that person? Is it that they would just have ease of pain? Is it that they would, you know, experience joy? You know, there's all of these words, these things kind of underneath the surface that, that can really catch somebody's attention if they're thinking about, no, do I buy this or do I buy this? Well, what I'm really trying to do is ease pain right now. So I'm going to choose this instead of that. Yeah. So I think talking to both of those levels, like you're talking about this very, you know, obviously this is a product, but talking to this more emotional aspect of what these flowers bring, carry along with them, is an important part of the communication process with consumers. So I'm glad that you brought that up today. That's important. Okay. Last question, Derek. It's the what would you like to leave listeners with today? You know, there's people all over that are tuning in their cars, or, you know, driving down the road. I know some of our, some people have told me, you know, I listen to this every time that I drive to my wholesaler to pick up my flowers. So you can just imagine that there's people all over, that are going about their days and their work with flowers. And what is it that you would just chime in and want to leave in their ear as they go about the rest of their day?
I love that. Well, I would say, especially in today's day and age and where we are right now, is to just have an open mind more than ever. You know, when you get to your wholesaler, or when you get to work, or when you approach today's tasks, you know, just think about what the task is ahead of you and have an open mind to what you have access to that's around you. You know, if to you that's a sweetest day project and you're running a special and you need to figure out what that is, just have an open mind. If you have a busy wedding and event weekend ahead of you and you've lost some of your product, or something wasn't available, or some kind of catastrophe happens, just have an open mind and have an open heart, and solutions will present themselves if you make yourself open to them. And then you just got to take them, work with them, and then everything is going to work out.
So good. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing your heart and your voice. I'm delighted that we're working together in the world of flowers. It's really encouraging to me to hear your story today.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to share. I just love it so much.
Thanks for listening. You can find us over at teamflower.org for more resources like this one. And while you're there, check out the Team Flower Conference. That's where we all gather to learn and grow together. It is magic. You are magic. The work that you do with flowers matters. And we are so grateful for you. Keep going. You're doing a good job.